Jamal Ahmed, Jazz 91.9, the Jazz of the City. And I'm very blessed right now to be joined by the members of the cast, Every Tongue Confess. How you guys doing?
Good. Oh,
fantastic.
All right, wonderful. Well, let me get some quick introductions real quick. We have Aminka Wiltz, right?
Yes, that's right.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. And who do you play?
I play Mother-Sister.
Mother-Sister. Mm-hmm. You kind of got a Mother-Sister thing going right now.
Can't help it. That's how I was raised.
That's you. Where are you from, Minka?
From Atlanta, Georgia.
Of course.
Grady, baby.
There we go. That's that makes all sense in the world. And this very tall gentleman to your left, Mr. Victor Love. How you doing, Victor?
I'm blessed. As you said, I'm blessed. I feel good today.
Yes, yes, yes. And who do you play in Every Tongue Confess?
I play a brother named Black Smith.
All right. All right. And it's a lot to that character, so we'll get into that in a little while. And finally, we have Miss Deborah Bowman.
Deborah Bowman, that's
Deborah,
right.
Excuse me. Is that tomato, tomato, but Deborah?
That's all good.
Yes.
Spelled Deborah, that's for sure.
Exactly. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. And you play Bernadette.
I sure do.
Okay. And who is she in this play?
She is the mother of Benny, who is a character that goes through the whole story I play her mother,
okay.
And I play her guardian angel as well.
Okay. And you know, I guess we have to ask, you know, the premise of the play first for people to understand the characters. So, Minka, why don't you talk about the play, and because I actually saw it, and I want to talk about a few things, but talk about the play and really the bottom line of what everything represents in this play.
Oh, what it represents is a whole nother conversation. I think you want another show for that. But the storyline is there are church burnings happening in 1996 in Bologna, Alabama. My character is a single mother who's lost her husband, and she is now heading up this congregation of Christians, believers, and the fires are encroaching upon them. But it also deals with a spiritual burning that's happening in our community, and one that we have. My character is the spiritual leader, so she has taken it upon herself, or allowed, taken the mission from God as she sees it, to pray for a savior, something or someone, as she says in the script, to come and save them. So it's about these physical burnings and spiritual burnings as well, and how we deal with them, how we choose to heal ourselves.
Exactly. Also, there was multiple stories happening, different stories that were all kind of intertwined. I want to move to you, Victor. Talk about the kind of, there's a bit of magic. There's this kind of, and it's not magic like David Copperfield magic, but there's this mysticism in this play. Talk about that aspect of this play.
Keeping it general, because this is a thriller and it has things that we don't want to reveal until the very end. It's about the magic of love and about the healing that love can do. How even in death, we return, in essence, to heal those that we love. It talks about journeys that we each take spiritually and how those journeys in this play manifest into the forms of people, into the forms of all the different characters. And through this interaction that you see a spiritual, a sexual, a cultural healing. You know, and very briefly, I represent the power of love. How from some place beyond spiritual, you know, Deborah said that she was like a guardian angel. In some ways, I'm like the prophet who comes back to fulfill the needs of his people.
Right, right.
You know, and it's magic, as you said.
So I want to move to you, Deborah, and because, you know, one thing that really struck me with this play was all the realism and the kind of, I guess, the metaphors that exist in this play, but also the music was very powerful. It had a strong kind of gospel, blues, soulful energy, and you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
In this play, talk about the musical aspect of this play.
Well, Esprinay Clark, who is our music director and composer, she teamed up with Thomas Jones, our director, and wrote every piece of music pretty much with us and for us and kind of through us, which was really a wonderful organic process for all of us. We would have a morning where we would come in at 10 o'clock and she'd say, this is basically what I'm feeling and what I'm inspired to play. And, you know, and then she would say, Minka, hit this note, and Deb, hit this note. And we would blend, and then through our voices and our, you know, wonderful acting ability, which we all have great, you know, abilities in all realms, acting and musically. We created this wonderful music, and she, what an amazing woman she is. You know, what a great writer. And she took our, even just our audition pieces, and used those. In fact, Minka and I sing a song, we sing Wade in the Water. That was actually my audition song, because we were asked to sing a gospel piece a cappella when we auditioned for the roles. And so she incorporated that into the musical. But mostly all of the songs are originally composed by her. And this was the first real staging with this much music, that's for sure.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with the cast of Every Tongue Confess, presented by Horizon Theater Company. I want to move to you, Minka, because let's talk about the playwright, Marcus Gartley.
Let's talk about him, baby. I love that man.
I mean, he came up with something that was very brilliant. I mean, there's so many great parallels. Like when I look at the church and you look at the congregation, they almost serve as a classic kind of Greek chorus. In this play, talk about how he wrote this thing, because it's written very uniquely.
Oh, what do you talk about how he wrote it? I would love to talk to him about how he wrote it, but you know, I love.
Yeah, I wish he was here to answer that question.
I know he would come too if you just asked him. I met him when he was a grad student, and I love telling the story. I feel like his auntie because I've told everybody the story about. I met him 10 years ago, and I met him doing a reading of his called "Dance the Holy Ghost." I had the opportunity to play read a role in that, and I love the way his facility with language and magical realism and spirituality and his abandon with which he brings it to those people who otherwise wouldn't want to invest. He calls upon these parts of ourselves that have been muted in life, and he put those words down on the page, and it affects us. I know that when we had our first table read, I felt that we were all affected. We were all invested in this storyline. And it's a storyline that is not necessarily seen as something commercially viable, but it doesn't matter. It reaches inside of you in a place that commercialism does not matter. Mainstream doesn't matter. And he has that. He has that in his life and his work. And the Greek chorus element to it, I believe he does that in most of his plays, if not all of them. He's committed to magical realism. If you look up any interviews with him, he'll tell you that freely. Committed to magical realism and how it applies to us on this three-dimensional plane. And so being fortunate enough to be a part of that was the that was it. When they called me and said, we would like for you to audition for this piece, I said, Marcus Gartley, bam, I'm in it. And then when everybody else was on board that I'd never worked with, that I've heard of and loved for so many years, Tom Jones and then S. Renee Clark, I was just melting in my chair. So that's does that help? Is that good?
I think you did.
All right. Thanks.
I think you did very good.
Thank you.
I want to move to you, Victor, because when I saw the play, one thing that I walked away with was this sense of temperance, where it was, there were so many things that were that Marcus wrote in this play that are kind of taboo. People don't talk about them. There were a lot of racial tensions in this play, and this is actually based off of real events that were happening in the 1990s, where you had these church burnings happening all through the South. Can you talk a bit about what you feel was your major takeaway when you read this whole play and you actually performed it? What was the scene or the major takeaway that you got out of this play?
Ooh, wow.
And that's a big question, I know. But a little piece to...
Yeah, the best questions are the big questions. You know, as an artist, you respond sometimes because you don't even know why you're responding. You know that you see a piece of art or you read something and you go, this has to come through me. I need this. I need this to heal who I am right now. I need this, you know, I need this expression. And I can't give away the end of the play, but that's what hooked me in when it all tied together. And you realize that we operate as different people. We operate as different entities, different energies, but it takes all of us to make things work. Mm-hmm. Like my finger and my toe don't believe that they are part of this, they're separate, but they serve the body, you know? And I think that's what got to me. I also think it got to me the fact that love can be so powerful that it transcends logic, that it transcends what we call reality and goes into a place of magic. We can call it magic, or we can just start believing in the power of love and realize that love is transformative. Mm-hmm. So I really think that that's what got me. And, you know, when folks see the end of the play and they see how it all ties together, how the journeys and all the storylines come together, it's cathartic, you know. It's just like, wow, I needed that, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I attended on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday is, in my opinion, one of the best days to see it because you feel this kind of down-home church energy. That's kind of buzzing in the air already, especially here in the South. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, I saw a lot of tears. I saw a lot of people trying to come to grips with what they just saw. I want to move to you, Deborah, and let's talk about, because, you know, there's a lot of music in this play. And, I'm not the biggest fan of musicals, but what I love about the music in this play was that it was all relevant, and it was very soulful and well-written. And when you talk about musicians and people playing, it's like people have to be in sync, and acting is the same way, where people have to be kind of the timing, the rhythm, everything has to be there. Talk about working with this great cast of people, and let's mention some folk who aren't even here, because we have some incredible people on the cast.
Well, we've got the wonderfully wonderful musical kind of legend, Bernadine Mitchell, who you know, a lot of Atlanta knows and has known and loved for years. And she's in the cast, and wow, what a voice she has. And then we have Brian Kurlander, who's an incredible actor local to Atlanta, doing TV and film and theater. And we have Richard Hatcher, who plays Mother Sister's son. And this was his first professional piece here in Atlanta, and he's going off to college to study theater, really exciting. Who else, guys? We've got
Brad Raymond,
who is an incredible voice
incredible.
And sound. And what an actor. He plays Jeremiah and Elder. And we've got Enoch King, who is a local theater icon, I think. I'm excited. He plays my feisty boyfriend, and he plays Elder. And then Lauren Boyd, who plays my daughter, Benny, and she is a wonderful actress and from Atlanta as well.
Well, he plays brother.
I'm sorry, he plays Enoch brother. Plays and brother.
Brad plays
as
brother.
I said, okay, mm-hmm. sorry.
No problem.
That was everyone, right? Mm-hmm. But musically, I mean, working with Bernadine was just, I remember sitting with having to keep my jaw connected to my lip because I was just like drooling every day during the musical process because she's just so profound and so wonderful and inspiring. And sitting across from Minka as well. I mean, this woman here has a beautiful, beautiful sound. And
you as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was just so phenomenal. When I was looking at you, Minka, do your thing, it was almost like watching my grandmother. Like, in a way, in a good way. Like you really embodied that old soul, and Victor, you were really like the Bill Boonsie of all of this, man. So it was really powerful play, and we just want to remind people that it's running all the way to August the 25th mm-hmm. At the Horizon Theater Company in Little Five Points. If they want to find out more information, they can go to horizontheatercompany.com. And Deborah, you had one more thing you want to
well,
say.
Well, there's a sale today. If you call the box office today before 5 o'clock, there is a $20 ticket sale. But you have to get that call in today until 5 o'clock
okay.
or before 5 p.m.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. We have to thank Minka Wiltz, Victor Love, and Deborah Bowman of Every Tongue Confesses, presented by Horizon Theater Company. God bless you all in your future endeavors, and thank you for this wonderful piece of
thank
work.
You, Jamal.
Thank you, Jamal.
Pleasure being